5th at First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, 1 mile south of I-295.
The following is a special pre-recorded broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Please enjoy this message and happy Independence Day from First Conservative Baptist Church.
68% of the millennials say that they prefer socialism. Today, only 4% of the millennials hold a biblical worldview. Today, 90% of our churches have 100 people or less. Today, it is a focus on cotton candy theology, goosebump theology, and a focus on what I simply call voodoo theology. We have a moral, ethical ruin in a nation. You say, well, preacher, what do we do? What is the answer? Revival is the only hope for America, lest we turn back to God. By the way, revival is not talking about getting folks saved. Revival is talking about saved people getting right with God. Saved people being revived and turning back to God. Saved people going back to church and filling the pews. Saved people being willing to sing "How Great Thou Art" and really mean it. Saved people means that it's those that have turned back to God and said, "Forgive me for my sin. Help me to live for you because you died for me." We're talking about the corruptness in our nation today, the moral, ethical, degraded condition that we're in, the moral awfulness we see. And secondly, in verse 7, there's a political anarchy. Notice it says, your country is desolate, your cities are burned with fire, your land, strangers devour in it your presence. While you stand by helpless, it is desolate and overthrown by strangers. Judah was beset on all sides. Judah was facing hostile forces, losing territory by other nations, desiring here the turning back. God is reminding them of their condition. During Isaiah's lifetime, Judah was subjected to the attacks from Syria, Edom, Philistia, and Assyria. The terms here, desolate, burned, stripped. God is giving a vivid illustration of what is going to happen to the nation of Israel because of their rebellion against God. America's facing political anarchy today, if I may say so. Today, we have a president that's ruling by fiat as an empirical king. You realize he has, everything that Biden has done has been based on 114 executive orders. You realize he just got remanded again by the U.S. Supreme Court because he was trying to forgive about $450 billion in student loans. You know what he did? He went back to the 70s when a law was passed that said if you're a veteran, you go off to fight the battle for America, you can simply have your debts to be put on hold until you return. There cannot be any collection, the forced collections, the foreclosures, etc. He took that little nuance and then tried to apply that to the student loans, and the Supreme Court says you can't do that. In fact, any money that is allocated like that must come through the U.S. House of Representatives, not by executive order. He has already determined that he's going to do that, and he's picked up another nuance that he's going to tweak the nuance and try to use that now to forgive the debt. May I say to you, we're living in the same era, the same circumstances, the same situation that God is dealing with in Isaiah chapter 1 for the nation of Israel. In the nation of Israel, there's political anarchy. Anarchy. That means they were in a position of total despot rule. America's facing political anarchy. We are living in a day where there's the mindset that there is no House and no Senate and just one ruler, and that's the king in the Oval Office. We have today the loss of our sovereignty in America. Today we have no southern border. Today, regardless of what the Communist Network News might say, we have approximately 10 to 12 million illegals that have come into the United States of America. They're given cell phones, EBT cards, $1,500 cash in a brown envelope when they come in, and they're given free medical care, they're given free education in America, and we, the taxpayers, are paying for it. We're faced with a major, major dilemma because lest God intervenes, we're watching the preparation for the theft of the 2024 election. We're watching that being set up today. The stage is being set. The players are being put on the stage and being making ready the theft of the next election as a result of what we're seeing with the political anarchy that is taking place. And it's all emanating out of the White House in Washington, D.C. We're going to watch today, as I've used the term, the thugs with badges, IRS now, IRS agents, to apply for the filling of the 87,000 slots for new IRS agents. They need to be willing to use deadly force in going into the home. I read an article just recently where one IRS agent made the statement when he went to a woman's home and lied to her about the reason he was there. And then when she discovered what was happening, she asked him to get out of the house. He said, I can go in any house and do anything anytime I please. I'm an IRS agent. That's the mindset today that we have from the Oval Office and throughout all of the branches of the federal government that is before us. There is the presentment that is reviewed, the prosecutor's reveal. Verses 8 and 9, we see the preservation reminded. Notice the scriptures as in those 8 and 9 verses. Notice what the scripture is literally telling us here. We're reminded here in this text that God says, listen up, wait, listen. Let me remind you that there's still a remnant, a minuscule few, still a few that are faithful, still a few that are committed to God. Out of the whole nation, God says there's still a witness, a handful that's standing for me. That handful, they're weak, they're frail. They're like in the scripture saying there in verse 8 and 9, they're like that temporary cottage, a weak hut, easily destroyed by the enemies. But because of the faithful few believers even today, God said, I've not completely destroyed you like I have Sodom and Gomorrah. There's a faithful few, a handful today, that's filling the pews in our churches. There's a faithful few, a handful today in America, that's the remnant, if you will, that's holding up the banner of truth. There's a faithful few that's willing to take the stand and be obedient to what God says in relationship to serving Him. Here, God is comparing Judah's wickedness to that of Sodom and Gomorrah. And I just made a little margin note, hey, America still has that remnant who saved and surrendered and submitted to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. We are the remnant of the salt and light that God's called us to be, and that's what we ought to continue to do in serving the Lord. Not only see the presentments reviewed and the prosecutor revealed and the preservative reminded, but notice the pretense recited in verses 10 through 15. Notice what the scripture says in verses 10 through 15 carefully. The courtroom is silent. The prosecutor continues. The judge sits in judgment. The nation listens as the indictment is presented. And God now spells out the whole serious condition of the nation of Israel. The entire case. That is a spiritual apostasy. Verse 10, God calls on all leaders and all politicians and all the people to listen carefully to the final summary of his charges against the nation. Listen to the charges. Notice in verse 11 and 12, the sacrifice is only pretense. Now, I don't know of any part of this text that identifies where we are as America than these next few verses. Listen to what the scripture is saying. Verse 11 and 12, he talks about the sacrifice is only pretense. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and of the fat of the fed beast, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or the lambs or the goats. When you come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread out my courts? Listen to what God is saying in this text. God is simply saying then, reminding the nation of Israel of their sacrifice, which is simply pretense. That when you come to worship, it is pretense. It's not from the heart. When you come to worship, it's not to worship God. It's to come and simply say, that's my check mark. I've given God an hour of my time this morning. I've given God an hour of my time on Sunday night, perhaps. I've given God an hour of my time on Wednesday nights. Most churches today have no Sunday night or Wednesday night services. Why? Because those that say they're saved are simply pretending to have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, but are not blood-bought, Bible-saved, born again. I believe it's time church members get saved. I believe it's time church members realize that church membership will send you to hell and not to heaven. It is a relationship to Jesus Christ through the shed blood on Calvary's cross and a volitional choice to say yes to Christ as Savior and as Lord. There's no other way to be saved, no other way for salvation other than a volitional choice. God says in this text here, He is saying, you are playing church. It is pretense. It is the Sunday thing to do, if you will. May I say to you, it's false worship. Much of what is called Christianity today is done only in form, without substance. God rejects our empty, meaningless mockery of who He is and what He's doing. Verse 13 and 14, not only we see the sacrifice is only pretense, verse 13 and 14, the service is only pretense. The service. God says, our service, verse 13, it is iniquity, that is twisted, perverted sin. God says in verse 14, I am weary to hear you. Verse 14 says, basically, I'm tired of your pretense. Why do you serve God is the question that begs to be asked. Do we serve Him out of pretense? Do we come on Sunday morning because we say, I want to serve God, I want to sing praises before Him, I want to submit my life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, I want to be filled with the work of the Holy Spirit of God through the reading and the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God? Why do we come to church? What is the purpose? What is the motive? Brother Max said earlier, they go in some churches where only women are present because the men are no longer there. Men today have forfeited our responsibility as the head of the home, the head of the church, and the head of government. We've forfeited that responsibility today. And God charges the man, the husband, to be the head of the home, the head of the church, the head of our nation, and to carry out the work that God wants us to do in submission and service unto His Lordship. Verse 15, the seeking is only pretense. God says, I will not even hear or see you as you spread forth your hands. Literally, I don't even hear your prayers. Your prayers are not sincere. Your prayers are fake. Your prayers are phony. Your prayers are pretense. Even when we do what God commands, it is wrong. It is sin when it's not from the heart. There are a lot of folks today that will go through the motion of worship, go through the pretense of, you ought to come to the preacher unless I'm saved. You ever thought about that? A lot of people look at it on the basis that I'm going to do this as a movement in motion, but not from the heart. One of the major things in America that's undermined the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is society. And most Christians bow to it. In societal activities, if it is a sports arena, if it is doing something on Sunday, when the Jags first came to Jacksonville, perhaps you've heard me illustrate it before, a reporter called and want to know, well, preacher, the Jags start at a certain time. Are you willing to shut the services down on Sunday morning so they can go to the football game? Are you willing to alter the plan so that you get out sooner? I said, no, ma'am, not at all. Our church is still going to have services. Well, that means a lot of your membership may not be able to go to the Jags. I said, praise God, thank you, Jesus. There's a mindset somehow that if there's a sports game taking place, if there's something that the world is offering, even Christians bow to the world and say, we need to be there, we need to be involved, and forget about the responsibility and service and submission and surrender under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Not out of motion and activity, but out of the love and surrender to God through Jesus Christ and what He would have us to do. Why do you worship on Sunday? Do you come to be filled afresh and anew through the Word of God? Basically, our national problem today is not financial. Our national problem today is not in any way considered economic. Our basic problem in America today could not be considered military. Our basic problem today in America is a spiritual deficit, a spiritual problem that prevents us from being all that God would have us to be. We must repent and turn back to God. America is doomed to destruction unless we turn back to God. America will fall in the ash heap of other great powerful nations unless we turn back to God. It's spiritual apostasy today. May I say to you, you go back and look at the corruption that's taking place. Understand the moral, ethical depletion that we're finding. God has ordered us into His courtroom. As He spells out His charges, and we stand before Him guilty, guilty, guilty as charged. Not only do we see the chronicle of charges recorded, but I want us to notice in verses 16 through 23, the condition for clemency revealed. In the midst of the trial, in the midst of God's charges against the nation of Israel, in the midst of the prosecutor, God Himself, making the presentment in the courtroom of God's universal courtship, may I say to you, the condition for clemency is offered. God ultimately allows Judah about 100 years before sending them into the Babylonian captivity. In these verses, He offers clemency, but it is conditioned Notice what he says. Notice in verse 16 and 17, he says there, "Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow." He sets forth there the practice that is required. What does God require of us as a nation to prosper? What does God require of us as a nation to somehow, some way postpone his judgment? God says, be clean inside and outside. God says, stop the show and shine with the outside looking good and the inside full of rot and evil. Put away, that means to stop, discontinue the sin. Cease to do evil, that means stop and stop it now. Verse 17, learn to do well, that is, care for others. Don't just consider self. Seek God's judgment and justice and relieve those that are oppressed in the justice and judgment that God would have. For the fatherless, plead for the widows. That's what God is saying in the text. There must be an expression of our Christian faith revealed in our walk and in our witness before the world. Notice in verse 18 and 19, the plea recited. Come now and let us listen. I think most people have heard this verse but do not understand the context. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Powerful verses. It ought to get our attention. Notice what God is saying as the plea is recited. The judge of the universe, the creator control of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ, God is speaking in the court and he wants to get the attention of the defendant. He says, come on now, let's come up with an agreement. Let's do something. God is the one that's making the offer of clemency. God is the one that's setting the stage and saying there's a way out. God is the one that's setting the stage and trying to get the one that is charged being guilty before God. God's the one that is saying, let me plead with you. I plead with you, don't force me to issue my final decree, is what God is saying. God says, America, you can repent. God says, America, there's an opportunity for clemency. God says, America, there's an opportunity yet before my final judgment falls on a once great nation. There's an opportunity for America to turn back to God. I don't know of any greater need in America today than for Americans to turn back to God. For Christians, those that call themselves Christians, to be real and to turn back to God and make a commitment of a life and living to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Verse 19, God says, you repent and obey me, and I'll provide the very best for you. I'll provide protection and provision and peace and strength. Obedience brings blessings. And that's what's needed today in our nation. Notice the penalty is reminded in that 20th verse. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured, literally destroyed with the sword. Literally, God said, if you do not repent, if you do not accept this offer of clemency, I'm going to allow another nation to come in and destroy you with the sword, because the mouth of the Lord had spoken it. God said it. That settles it. That's what God is saying. God says, okay, America, you can choose. It is a choice that you must make. I go back to Joshua 24:15. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. He made a profound decision. He made a personal decision. He made a parental decision. But as for me and my house, and that's what ought to take place in our homes today. There needs to be mom or dad in the home that says, that's for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We can have a friend, a relative, a neighbor to come in. We're still going to be in church. I've never had a problem in my life with a relative or a friend or acquaintance coming to my house on Sunday and thinking that we're going to be there. Yet you'd be surprised how many Christians say, well, you know, so-and-so dropped in, and after all, he doesn't go to church. Listen, you come to my house, you don't go to church, you can sit there and bite your fingernails while I'm in church. You come to my house and you say, somehow, some way, I want to spend time with you. You're going to spend time by yourself because I'm going to be in church. That ought to be the commitment of every child of God. That ought to be the commitment of the saints of God, that we say, I don't care what you do, I'm going to serve Jesus. I'm going to be in church on Sunday morning. I'm going to be in church on Sunday night. I'm going to be in church on Wednesday as we serve the Lord Jesus Christ with our lives and submitted, surrendered. That penalty is reminded in the 20th verse. God is saying, choose. Perhaps you recall, some of you may or may not recognize and understand the Gibbon's historical five reasons for the decline and the fall of the Roman Empire. Let me just read them to you very carefully. The decline and the fall of the Roman Empire. It's a massive read. It succinctly is five reasons. The decline of the sanctity of the home, number one. Number two, higher and higher taxes and more spending on public money. Number three, the mad craze for pleasure and excitement for the immoral with the decay of individual responsibility. Number four, the building of more and more layers of armament, dependence on military rather than dependence on God. Number five, the decline and decay of true religion, falling into mere form, out of touch with God, no spiritual power, no spiritual guidance in the lives of the people. We're there, folks. We meet the criteria. We're there. How should we then live? Ezekiel said in Ezekiel 33:10, how should we then live? May I say to you, the decline of a nation begins with spiritual apostasy. We see this in America today. America is on trial. We're standing before God and we're found guilty, guilty, guilty as charged. Will we repent or will we continue to rebel? Notice in verse 21 through 23, the pain reminded. God is anguished, he's pained, he's in sorrow as he laments over Jerusalem and the evil and the sin. Jerusalem was a faithful city, but now immoral, unfaithful, formerly righteous, but now unrighteous. Sounds very much like America in our nation. God says to Judah in verse 21, you become a prostitute, no longer committed to just God, but to other gods. Today in America, we worship multitudes of gods, the god of materialism, the god of sex, the god of the lust of pride, and what life can bring without God. There's that mindset today that is absolutely deteriorating and causing America to falter and fall more than ever before. Verse 22 and 23, let me read them carefully. Thy silver has become dross, thy wine mixed with water. The princes are rebellious and companions of thieves. I read that and I think about Biden, but anyway. Thy princes are rebellious and the companions of thieves. Everyone loveth gifts and falleth after rewards. They judge not the fatherless, neither doth they cause the widow come unto them. Listen as we look at these two or three last verses there. Notice what the scripture is saying there. It says, watch out. Your finances, gold and silver, has lost its value. We're in a major inflation spiral today. Yet Powell, that runs that responsibility, I believe is just as ignorant as a frog when it comes to financial decisions. By the way, the Federal Reserve's not part of our Constitution. It's never been in harmony with what America was designed to do. It controls the money flow, and it's generally a political hand behind it. We have Janet Yellen also that said just 6 months ago that if we have an inflation, it'll be just very temporary, but it's spiraling out of control. I never thought that we'd pay $5 and $6 for a gallon of milk. We never believed there'd be $5+ for a gallon of gasoline. And yet when Biden came in office, he did so by promising a giveaway to the those that wanted to sit, that there's going to be $15 an hour federal minimum wage. Well, a federal minimum wage has never been passed. But yet everybody thinks they're supposed to get $15 or more. I know a businessman right here in this community that he could try to hire people at $15, $18 an hour, and they'll come in and work two or three days and then walk out and never see them again so they can continue to draw that $600 to $900 a week sitting and doing nothing. We're in a position today that we're watching the absolute evisceration, the destruction of our financial soundness, the system that is being destroyed from within, and it's purposeful. Listen very carefully. You cannot bring in socialism. You start with Marxism, socialism that brings about communism. That must take place by the destruction of the financial base in a nation. We're watching that take place today. And if you can't figure that out, you need to go back to school and study on some math. We're watching it take. It is being manipulated. The federal government creates the crisis, then they set up a program that will bring Americans to submit that they can claim that they're curing the crisis. We're watching that take place over and over again. And that was taking place in the days of Israel. And God says, you're going to watch your financial underpinning totally destroyed. We're watching today with the Biden economics, if you will. Due to greed and the false judges and the bribes that's taking place, not rendering justice, America stands on trial today. Will we seek clemency or will we face calamity? Finally, I want us to notice in verse 24 through verse 31, the end of the trial, the end of the judgment, the end of God's justice. Notice the call for conviction reviewed. Here we see the judge's declaration of guilt. The judge, God, declaring guilt. The sentence is pronounced. God's courtroom, a nation on trial. Notice the purging rendered. Verse 24 through 26. God says, therefore. When you see what's the word therefore, you have to go see what's gone therefore, wherefore. Then there's the therefore, what's taking place. Therefore, saith the Lord of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, ah, I will ease me of mine adversaries. That is all of those that are against me, God speaking, and avenge me, that's literally go against mine enemies. Literally, I will turn my hand upon thee and purely purge, that is remove away thy dross and take away thy tin. That take away the tin means any additives. God says, the sentence is pronounced. God says in verse 24, I'm going to punish the enemies. God says in verse 25, I'm going to purify the nation. God says in verse 26, he's going to put away the leaders. Listen to that 26th verse. And I will restore thine judges at the first and thy counselors at the beginning. Afterwards, thou shalt be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city. He is talking about taking away those that are the leadership. Verse 27, Zion shall be redeemed with judgment and her converts with righteousness. Listen to what God is saying. God is saying, I am going to render a righteous decision to force you to hear what I'm saying. The question is, will we reject God? Will we honor God? Will we turn back to God? Listen, he's saying, I'm going to reject all of those who laugh at me and ridicule me, ridiculing the church, if you put it in the young blood vernacular for today. Look out, God is still in charge. God wants to use a righteous nation to honor him. Verse 27 through 31, as we close, the punishment revealed. The punishment revealed. Verse 27, 28, and 29, we see the pronouncement of doom. Frightening study. Zion shall be redeemed with judgment, and her converts with righteousness. And the destruction of the transgressors and the sinners shall be together, and they that forsake the Lord shall be consumed. For they shall be ashamed of the oaks which ye have desired, and ye shall be confounded for the gardens that you have chosen. Listen to what God is saying. God is saying, verse 24, I'm going to punish the enemies. I'm going to purify the nation. But verse 26, before we go back to 27 and following, God says, I'm going to destroy, I'm going to punish, I'm going to put away, purify my people. But he says, I'm going to do so by removing the leaders. I'm going to do so by removing the leaders. I just made a little margin note. Beware, God's watching. Beware, God is not asleep. Beware, God's not on vacation. Beware, God's not sick. God's not dead.
Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast on WBOB AM 600 and 101.1 FM.
On 91.7 FM, we talk about God's good news. You're listening to The Truth.
Happy 4th of July from William Manser and the staff at Grace Technologies in McLennan.